to another Illinois football podcast. I'm Joe Stevenson from the Northwest Herald in Crystal Lake, and I'm joined by Kankakee Daily Journal sports writers Steve Soucy and Kyle Neighbors, and a special guest. Guys, he's back. John Stieff was hanging around the office. He's going to enlighten us on Joliet area football.
You should beef up your security, Joe.
I don't know much about it, I can tell you that.
So we're a couple days late running the podcast this week because our engineer, John Solly, just became a father. So Dan Mott is good enough to come in and run the show for us today. Better late than never. So, guys, we have made it to the playoffs. There's excitement everywhere as we start our five-week quest to crown 8 state champions. Steve, the cutoff line was 37. Yeah. 37's made it. Is right. that about what you were anticipating the last couple weeks?
Yeah, 37's made it. 36's did not. There's always a little movement in week 9. There was minimal movement this year. It was funny because usually you have more teams fight their way in week 9 and kind of change that number around a little bit. But this year it was kind of a balanced scale. We had multiple teams, including some notable ones, that needed to win at 4-4, and they didn't do it. So those new teams that got in essentially took the places of those teams that I expected to get in. So it was kind of a wash.
Yeah, and one of those teams, I was thinking of this, how crazy is this? One of those teams is Mount Carmel, and we have a state football tournaments going on without Mount Carmel, Providence, or Joliet Catholic. And I looked this up, I think this is right, 1979 was the Wow. last time that happened.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a while, and obviously, I mean, you take some things for granted when it comes to this whole process, and for me, at least, you know, in recent seasons, the one of the things that I take for granted is that somewhere in this field, Mount Carmel is going to have a presence, and they don't. I mean, they lost to Providence, which Providence playing the role of spoiler in that situation. They had no chance of getting in and were simply playing for pride. So really kind of astonishing. And then when you compound it with the fact, and we've known this for weeks, that Joliet Catholic wasn't getting in, it definitely has a different kind of feel to it if you really dig deep into the brackets without any of those teams involved.
So, well, let's jump into Class 8A, which, as usual, is loaded. Loyola beat Brother Rice 48-37 last week in the battle of number 1 versus number 2 to take the number 1 seed. And, Steve, just like you predicted, there's an 8-1 team. An 8-1 team, Chicago Curry, goes on the road in the first round in 8A. That's how good this class is. There were 7 unbeatens, right?
Yeah.
7 9-0s, and then 10 8-1s, and the last one of those points-wise was Chicago Curry. You're looking at Loyola as the top seed, Hinsdale Central 2, Palatine 3, and Homewood Flossmoor. That's the top 4. Who else should we be watching in this class?
Well, I mean, do we have time to run down the whole list? It's to me, I mean, this is probably from 1 to 32, it's probably one of the deepest fields I can ever recall. I mean, even when we were doing North-South, you could look at the bracket as an overview. But a couple of teams that I like that are down there underneath the top lines on the seeds, I'm really a fan of this Marist club. I think they're pretty good. And the funny thing about that is when you look at the depth of this bracket, I like Marist a lot. I'm not 100% confident they'll win their first round game. So, I mean, that's what we're talking about here. You try to forecast a little bit deeper into this bracket, and it's so difficult. I mean, I look at a couple of the games in this bracket. I mean, I'm not confident if they're a first round out or a semifinalist. That's how crazy this bracket is. It's just nuts. I mean, you look at an 18 seed like Lincoln Way East, an 18 seed. I mean, I can't even envision that. I mean, and you go even farther down. I mean, you got teams like Friend at a 25 seed. And I mean, even farther down, there's just all across this bracket, these first round matchups are going to feel more like quarterfinal games to me.
I kind of like Maine South, too, against Western, yeah. Or an undefeated team.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Yeah, you had mentioned Marist. Marist was a 5-4 team that made it to the championship game last year. That's a really good defensive team, and And as we talked about the East Suburban Catholic, you know, they got a lot of good tight games. It's interesting that Brother Rice loses, and now that is a potential quarterfinal rematch with Loyola. Do you think that that could – how likely do you think that is to occur?
I think that's fairly likely, but, I mean, you I don't think you're doing yourself any justice if you dismiss Stevenson, a really strong nine seed there that, I mean, you go back to, you know, early parts of the season and nobody was talking about these guys, and then Stevenson does exactly what they always do, just pile up a bunch of wins and make themselves, you know, make themselves at least somebody you need to think about at this time of year. So that'll be an interesting second-round game if it comes to fruition. I mean, I like Loyola. I like Loyola in this bracket, but they're not going to cakewalk. That's for sure.
Yeah, I get to go. I get to see Stevenson on Friday because our team Huntley is playing over there, and I looked at Stevenson's schedule. The opening season opening loss 28-20 to Palatine, and you know, we know that Palatine's really good. So, yeah, that tells me that Stevenson is quite worthy.
Didn't they name that school after you, Joe?
It is, yes. That's my school.
I would figure you'd be an expert on them, though. I figure you know forwards and forwards if, you know, that's the case.
Yeah. Well, you know, since we are talking about 8A, there's two teams from Oswego. Oswego East, a 16 seed, is hosting Curry. And Oswego, which is, I'm looking at my sheet here and I can't find it.
They're the number five seed.
Yeah, hosting Joliet West. We'll talk a little bit with Kristen Sharp from the Oswego Ledger about those teams and Plano in Class 4A. Okay, Kristen, well, Oswego 9-0, its first undefeated regular season since when?
1995.
And gets a rematch with the conference opponent, number 28, Joliet West, which is 6-3. That'll be Friday night at 7. And That was a close game earlier in the season, but how much better has Oswego gotten since that?
Yeah, I think, you know, the first 3 weeks of the season, they were still trying to sort out their offense. They had a lot of new guys coming into varsity, and I think it took a couple weeks for them to start clicking. I think they scored 15 points in their first 3 weeks, but they've scored, I think, over 120 in their last 3 weeks. So offensively, they're a much different team, and throughout the whole season, their defense has been just as strong, if not stronger, as the season's progressed. So the score last time was 7-3. I still expect it to be on the low scoring side just because of how strong both defenses are, but I do not expect single-digit outputs from both of these teams this week.
Yeah, and if Oswego wins, it would get the winner of number 21 Oak Park River Forest and number 12 Edwardsville.
Correct. Yeah. So, yeah, and Edwardsville would have to make the trip up, you know, if the things hold true. So,
which is nice for you. That's a long hike.
Exactly.
So, yeah. And then also in 8A, Oswego East at 8-1, its only loss to Oswego, gets a 16 seed and gets number 17 Chicago Curry, also an 8-1 team. That's how good this 8A bracket is. There's an 8-1 team going on the road. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, Oswego East knew that it would probably be on that bubble of being home or away, and they were the last team to get that home game. This one is actually very interesting. The Oswego East head coach left Curry 5 years ago to take the position at Oswego East. So he has some undercover film on them, I guess you could say. He knows one of the coaches still on staff there, and you know, he said that while they're probably not paying much attention to what Oswego East is doing out here, he always has been checking their scores just because he really enjoyed his time at Curry. And, you know, so he's been kind of keeping tabs on how they've been doing. So that'll be a really interesting one just from a coaching perspective.
And that one is at 1 o'clock on Saturday. And then another game in your area on Friday night at 7:30, Manteno 6-3, number 10 seed in 4A, at number 7, Plano 7-2. And how have the Reapers been looking lately?
They are looking very good. They had 3 punt returns for touchdowns last week against Westmont. Their offense is just ridiculous right now. So they already have a win over Manteno from earlier in the I-8 season. And I don't expect Plano to have too much trouble sealing the win up on this one. You know, they are just putting up the points this year. And, you know, their quarterback is playing very well. I think he only has one interception or two all year long. Tyler Ward is playing very well. With great support around him. So that one should be one that we're talking about next week with a rematch of possibly Johnsburg, which I know Plano is kind of looking forward to, but not too far ahead right now.
Yeah, isn't that something that they open the season against each other, and Plano could be coming back to Johnsburg for week 2. I think Johnsburg will take care of business against Marengo. Johnsburg's been rolling people up this way. So, all right, Kristen, well, thanks a lot. We'll talk next week.
All right, thank you.
Class 7A. All right, let's move ahead to Class 7A, guys, where your team, one of your teams, Bradley Bourbonnais, gets the top seed, and East St. Louis is number 2. That looks like a great potential final, but that's a long way off. What do you guys think about Bradley Bourbonnais and the position it's in?
You know, pretty good draw for them, I thought. I think I tweeted out on Saturday night that the football gods have a sense of humor because they're playing Libertyville in the first round, which is the team that knocked Bradley out in the state semis last year on the last play of the game. Now, this Libertyville team isn't nearly as good, but I know that there are some players on that Bradley team that are really looking forward to getting some revenge, or at least trying to get some revenge on them here.
Was there some controversy at the end of that game?
Yeah, Libertyville was out of timeouts and at the 1-yard line, didn't get in on, I don't remember what down it was, but had to hurry up back to the line and get a playoff before the clock expired. And their quarterback extended the ball over the goal line, went over the top, and one official signaled him short and one official signaled a touchdown. And they ended up ruling it a touchdown, and that's how the game ended.
Oh, man, that's kind of a tough way. Tough way to go, and we're looking at number 2 is East St. Louis, and Steve, when we were on the IHSA selection show the other night, there was an interview with him. He was talking about, you know, how they have petitioned to play up. That's a 2-year deal, so that's this year and next year.
That's actually expires after this year.
Oh, so they would have played up last year, but they were on strike and they didn't make it.
Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. So they would have been actually a smaller 6A team, right?
Yeah, they would have been one of the smaller 6A teams.
Yeah, you know, and now they're playing up in 7A, and they look like they can hold their own with anybody. What do you think of the Flyers?
Well, I like them a lot, and I like their bracket quite a bit. Excluding that potential second round game against Glenbard North, I think that's going to be a battle for them. I mean, other than that, I don't see a lot of teams on the bottom half of the bracket that I think can match up with the athleticism and speed that they have. You know, it's just one of those things about how we talked about how deep 8A is. I don't think the same depth is there in 7A. I mean, I don't think it's close. A lot of times we usually have these arguments about, well, which class is better? Is it 7 or is it 8? And in my mind, I mean, this is just not a really deep bracket. And I think the bottom half of that bracket has a fewer hurdles for East St. Louis than the ones up at top of Bradley.
Who's the next best team maybe behind those two? Is it Fenwick?
You know,
like Fenwick a lot.
I think it is Fenwick. And I mean, an argument can be made for a couple of other teams, but I personally think that it's Fenwick. A team that nobody's talking about that I actually think is pretty good is Normal Community. I think they're a fairly solid team. And kind of a sleeper for me in this bracket a little bit is the 11 seed down there in Bennett. Once again, we'll go back to the East Suburban Catholic League and talk about how it prepared them for this. But it certainly looks like there might be an opportunity for them down there as well.
This is one of those interesting classes. Joe, you talked earlier about the Joliet area schools and how, you know, Providence, JCA, they aren't in this. 7A, there's a chance to get a couple wins, but these teams probably aren't going to go very far. You know, Plainfield North, it very well could win that first round game, but that's a tough one. Lincoln Way West, they're not going to beat East St. Louis. And Lincoln Way Central at Revis, I mean, that's a winnable game for them. But again, these teams don't seem like they're going very far from the Joliet area this year.
You know, you start looking at it too, and like, I don't want to discount Fenwick. Obviously, a really good team, but the way it kind of broke down, you just feel like Bradley and East St. Louis are on a collision course.
Yeah, I mean, I can see that. I can definitely see that argument because, I mean, I've been having, I don't want to say problems filling out the bottom half of my 7A ballot, but it hasn't been easy sometimes to feel my way through 5 through 10. I think I can come up with the top 5 or 6 with little difficulty, but then after that, it's kind of a conglomerate. I personally think it's an opportunity for someone who is on the underside of that bracket to make a run similar to what Bradley did last year because there's just, I mean, I look at St. Rita there at the 25 seed and the 5-4 record and think, you know, that bracket might open up for him a little bit, at least until they get to Bradley. So, I mean, there are a couple of other ones on there, if you really look at it, that you can make a case for as a lower seed, like Bradley was a 26 or a 27 last year and got themselves all the way to the semis.
And I think you're right that Bennett Normal community, that potential second round game is probably going to decide who's going to play East St. Louis in the semifinal, or there's a good chance that is, because Rolling Meadows is undefeated, but I just don't think they've played the teams that those other schools have.
Yeah, I mean, their playoff point situation was, you know, hovering around, I don't know where it ended up, but it was looking unlikely that they were going to get much over 30, which is an indication of a pretty weak schedule. And their conference teams, I mean, I think one other team got to 5-4 and got in, and there were no other playoff qualifiers from that league. So it kind of speaks to their schedule. And, I mean, it's not like they were rolling those people that they were playing.
Yeah,
pun not intended.
I said I plan on picking Rolling Meadows to lose their second game.
Yeah, I think that's reasonable.
They did beat Vider pretty good, though, earlier on in the year, and that's a pretty good Vider team. I guess that Vider got better as the year went on. But
yeah, but even they only ended up with, you know, what, 5-6 wins? So it's like, I mean, like inside their league, they didn't get any tests. And, I mean, Vider's the best team they played all year. I don't think there's any question about that.
Class 6A. Moving on to 6A, there's a lot of folks here in McHenry County who are getting pretty excited about the potential from the northern half of that bracket, where Prairie Ridge is the top seed, Antioch is 2, and Cary Grove in our area is number 3. Let's look at the southern part real quick first. There's number 1, Lamont, number 2, Sacred Heart Griffin. Who else do you like in the southern part of 6A?
You know, can I say no one? I mean, I'm not trying to be mean or anything, but I should correct myself right there. I like Crete, and I think if the opportunity presented itself to get another postseason game between Crete and Sacred Heart Griffin, you're going to have a pretty good football game. Crete obviously beat them last year, and Sacred Heart would love another shot at them. But that bracket right there, I think it's a classic example of the haves and have-nots here, because you've got, I think, Sacred Heart, who stands above the group, and then Lamont and Crete a step below it, and then everybody else is just kind of, I don't know. They've all got kind of individual issues that make me question whether or not they can make a serious run. I will say this. Galesburg win over Peoria did cause me to kind of reevaluate how good that team might be. So that might be a team that might be able to cause a little problem.
I was wondering about Galesburg. Yeah, that's a pretty nice win, and I didn't know if somebody like you guys had liked St. Lawrence quite a bit during the season. That's a 6-3 team. I don't know how good Richards is at 7-2. I just wondered about some of them, but
I'm gonna say that I'm officially pulling my endorsement for St. Lawrence. something is seriously wrong with that team. I don't know what it is, but they do not look like the same team that they were early in the year. So. With the way things have gone for them the last few weeks, I wouldn't be shocked to see them go out and lose to Richards.
Part of that is due to the fact that their lead running back, Faison Smart, has been a little dinged up, but doesn't explain all the troubles that they've had, because they lost to St. Ignatius last week. And I saw St. Ignatius in week 8 against Bishop McNamara, and they looked no better than an average team. So, I mean, and then that might be kind. If St. Lawrence lost to St. Ignatius, that tells me that there's something going on there that I don't really know what's going on, that this is not the same team that we saw in the opening first half of the season.
How about the northern half? Do you think that we're probably going to see this Prairie Ridge and Cary Grove rematch. They opened the season and Prairie Ridge won that game 26-14. I try to look at it objectively. I know a lot about Cary Grove. I know a lot about Prairie Ridge. I know they're both really, really good teams and built to, you know, traditionally they've been good playoff teams. I think they're built to do that again. I think they're going to run into each other. Do you see anybody else there that could get in their way?
I'd be at least aware of Montini there for Prairie Ridge in round two.
Yes.
That's where I was going.
You know, so, I mean, that's one there. And, I mean, it's funny. I mean, Prairie Ridge is the top seed here. But I'll be honest, I see more treachery in their half of the bracket than I do – a lot more treachery than I see at the bottom half. So it's interesting. And then – as I mentioned to you on Saturday night, Joe, I mean, I don't think people realize how close Cary Grove was to being in the 7A field.
So right, yeah, they're the largest 6A school.
This almost didn't happen at all, and I guess you can thank East St. Louis for protecting it, because if they hadn't requested this waiver and gone up to 7A, that's where Cary Grove would have been. So we were pretty close to not even having this to discuss. This was something that kind of happened on final playoff pairings night, where we had – a little bit of push shove in 5 and 6 in terms of where the teams were at. And I was looking at it real close and I was like, I think Cary Grove might slide into 7, and they ended up landing on the bubble line. So, but I think it's a better draw for Cary Grove. I think there are less hurdles on their side. I'd keep an eye on that Lake Forest team. I think they're a little tricky there. So they might be somebody that has to be dealt with too. And that's also on Prairie Ridge's side, but I think ultimately, you're right. I think we're probably going to get a rekindling of a version 2 of Prairie Ridge Cary Grove.
And I saw that last year's Lake Forest team played against Prairie Ridge. I believe Joe was there,
yes,
too, and that
yes.
game wasn't really close. If you look at that bottom half of, I guess, the top of 6A, there's four of those Lake County schools. I'm not sold on them. I know Antioch beat Grays Lake North and Lakes in close games, but it very well could be Cary Grove against DeKalb in that quarterfinal, and the winner will get Ridge, in my opinion.
That's the way I'm picking it, to be honest with you. When I look at it, I think that's the way it'll be. I mean, DeKalb just off of nearly beating Sterling in week 9, kind of proving their mettle a little bit more if we weren't already convinced. And although I wouldn't totally dismiss that Marmion team, I think they're better than people realize that they are. I kind of dismissed them after they kind of eked out a win over a beat-up McNamara team in week 4. But ever since, they've been really grinding it out, and they narrowly almost beat St. Rita in week 9, which would have knocked them out of the playoffs. So I don't think that team can – I don't think you can just go completely to sleep on Marmion.
Class 5A. Well, let's move on to 5A, guys. And in the Peoria Central lost to Galesburg, as we had mentioned earlier in week 9, but the Lions still get the top seed in the south side of 5A. Who else are threats in the south, do you think?
I'll take on Morris for that one, because, you know, I'm a Morris homer now. But, you know, they kind of took it to Geneseo last week, kind of dominating them on the line. That's a team that could – I could see them, you know, winning a couple games at home. And – you know, then you get into a situation, you know, I don't know how good Highland or Metamora is or Kankakee in there, but that would be a potential third round game for them. I don't think that they want Peoria Central anytime soon, but I think that they could win of those bottom four teams at least.
Yeah, and you know, it's not like we've seen Morris go this route before in the postseason. They're a pretty proven team. So I mean I don't think there's I don't think it's a long shot by any means for them to come out of that part of the bracket and end up seeing Peoria.
I'll take it a step further. I think Morris can get to Champaign.
Yeah.
I'll be completely honest with you. I think that bracket is really nice for them. It's really fortuitous. As long as they can avoid a nasty road trip that might pop up at some point in time, and even if they do, I think they can beat Peoria. I don't think it's crazy at all to say that they could beat them, especially after Peoria gives me a little bit of pause now, even though I gave them props a few minutes ago. The loss to Galesburg kind of tells me that maybe Peoria isn't the juggernaut everyone thinks that they are. So I think there's an opportunity for Morris there. They're battle-tested. They've played some good football teams all year long, and they've fared well even in their losses, and that's a good sign for them. So I think that's a pretty good football game in the semifinals if it materializes that way, and I think – to be honest with you, both of them have pretty clear roads to get there.
Looking at the northern half, guys, we have a couple of East Suburban Catholic teams getting in at 5-4, defending champion Nazareth Academy and Marion Central. Naz is the 15 seed. Marion's the 14 seed. But I like their draws. What do you think of the draws that these two got in the first round and to possibly hang around for a while here?
Well, obviously, those are great draws for both of those teams, especially in the first round. I would be surprised if Nazareth doesn't running clock good, despite the fact that they're undefeated. And Woodstock Marion shouldn't have much trouble with Peyton. When I looked at this bracket, when it first came out, I said to myself, I'm going to have either a 14 or a 15 seed on my semifinal line because that's what I believe. I believe those two will probably be squaring off in the quarters. I'm interested in that second-round game potentially with Hillcrest for Woodstock Marion, but I still think Woodstock Marion is in the right place. We talked about Woodstock Marion a lot because of their playoff status over the last couple of weeks, and I think their coach is absolutely right. They just needed to get in. And if they did, they were probably going to be a tough out. And I think they're going to be a really tough out in this particular bracket as well.
Yeah, it's interesting because last year they were the only team that beat Nazareth. They upset them on that crazy night where it was raining and lightning and the game got delayed. And Emmett Peisert, their running back, ran for like 300 yards and they knocked off Naz. And Naz didn't lose again after that. This year they did not play as the ESCC schedule revolved a little bit, and they picked up Marist and Bennett, I believe, instead, and they dropped Marion Catholic and Naz. So they didn't play in the regular season. So that would be quite an interesting ESCC quarterfinal if it came to that.
And I think either of those teams are capable of beating Sterling. So it's a weird bracket.
Yeah, someone asked me before who I thought was going to be in 5A and who was going to be in the finals, and I picked Woodstock Marion. So, I mean, that's where I'm at with it. And, I mean, it's kind of a coin flip between Woodstock Marion and Nazareth in that quarterfinal game. But I think either one of them could beat Sterling in that game at the final.
Class 4A. Let's look at 4A. And Hersher gets pushed north, which could be advantageous for Johnsburg, the number two seed. Hersher gets the number one. That means that Hersher would see, potentially down the line, would see Chicago Phillips, the defending champ, in the quarterfinals, and with the winner of that game possibly seeing Johnsburg. And what do you think? What do you guys? I know you guys have liked Hersher. That's one of your teams that you cover, and has been really good. What do you think of what Hersher can do here?
I really dislike. I mean, that's a bad draw, knowing that you're going to get Chicago Phillips come quarterfinal time. Outside of that, I think they're going to probably – I mean, I think they'll walk to that stage, but I don't like their chances against Phillip. Steve, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I mean, Hersher's had a very nice season, and I think I expect them to pretty much move through those first two games without too much issue. But Phillips is a whole different animal. I mean, there's as many nice positive stories you can find about Hersher right now. Matching up with that for them is going to be – pretty much a nightmare. They can't. I don't think they can do it. I mean, at this point, for their sake, I'm just hoping that they don't have to go to Chicago to have to do that. Maybe they can, you know, settle in at home and not have to worry about licking their wounds all the way back on the ride home. So, Phillips would likely overwhelm them. I would be surprised if it was even a competitive game.
Does Hersher usually? Does it go south and north? What usually happens
They have bounced back north. I mean, there's been kind of a weird history with it. And but prior to this week, when I've had Hersher in 4A, but this week what ended up happening was some north schools that I originally had in 4A dropped down to 5A because, like, one of them was good that we were talking about earlier. They were right on the 4A, 5A bracketing. So what happened was 3A teams from the south pushed into 4. And then 4A teams from the north that I had before pushed up into 5A. So it was all about vacancy. Hersher's usually very much on that line because if you were to put north and south, like just dot them in order based on how far they are north and south, Hersher's 15th in that bracket. So they're really close to where the line is. The only school that's farther south than they are that are in the they're in this bracket is the team that they're playing, Illinois Valley Central. So it was kind of weird. It was trying to figure out, you know, which side would Illinois Valley Central fall on, and then if there was enough spots in the south, Hersher would probably go south. So that was what led to Hersher ending up in the north, was that the, there were just vacancies in the north bracket that I didn't foresee prior to week nine.
So in the south part of this, Belleville Altoff is the number one seed. Number two is Columbia, also at 9-0. And, you know, the big dog down there is still Rochester, number five seed, 8-1, but the only loss to Sacred Heart Griffin. What do you guys think of that that half?
Well, I was hoping that the bracket would filter down a little bit different, so the Altoff and Rochester would be on opposite sides, and that would be a semifinal game because, I mean, from the people that I've talked to down there, that that game from last year was one of the best they'd ever seen. So I was hoping that it would wait until later in the tournament. I am still inclined to believe that that Rochester is the best team in the South, and I believe that all year long. I don't believe that anyone else in this classification would beat Sacred Heart Griffin if they were to play them. And if Rochester had made maybe one or two more plays, maybe they would have even beaten Sacred Heart Griffin when they played them. They had an opportunity at the end of the game. Not a great one, but an opportunity to beat them. So I still think they're the best team in the South. I'm waiting to see if that will come to fruition. Altoff has had some interesting games this year with some out-of-state competition that I don't really know how to measure them. I still think they're very, very good. But I think that's a two-horse race down there, and that's going to be solved in the quarterfinals. I think the semifinal game will be almost an afterthought after those two play.
Class 3A. So I'm looking at the northern part of 3A, and it's looked like all along that IC Catholic will it's the defending champ, right?
No, IC Catholic lost to Bishop McNamara in the semifinals.
I'm sorry, that's But yeah. Everybody seems to think that IC Catholic is the team to beat there. Boy, that top half, there's 6-9-0 teams in the top half of 3A.
Yeah, it's brutal. I mean, IC Catholic, I think, is a fairly prohibitive favorite. But, I mean, Westville has continued to put up good scores against quality opponents. Monticello is always a quality team. Byron, we saw, beat Wilmington last year and is apparently better this year. I have no idea. I still think it's IC Catholic's, you know, championship to lose, but that is going to be a gauntlet to get through.
This is I thought this was a really mean bracketing right here from the north side of it, because not only are there all those 9-0 teams, I think the best 9-0 teams were all put in the same quadrant at the top, because I think of those 9-0 teams in the north, I think IC Catholic, Wilmington, and Byron are the best three. And they're all on the same side. You've got a potential Wilmington-Byron game in the second round, which to me is ridiculous. I mean, you're going to have two 10-0 teams sitting there playing in the second round for the blessed privilege of playing IC Catholic. So, I mean, that's just an absolutely brutal bracket. I think it's as brutal as anything you're going to find in any class.
What do you think about the south part of this one? You got Newton as the number one and Mount Carmel as number two. They're the two 9-0 teams on that side.
Anybody got a good dartboard for me? I mean, that's what we're talking about. I should be fair. My favorite team in the south bracket is the five seed Williamsville. Very talented running back by the name of Jace Franklin, which I think Kyle might remember from the state championship game with Wilmington 2 years ago. He was only a sophomore then, but he is a very explosive player. As good as you're going to find, and excluding Mr. Roll from IC Catholic in that entire bracket as far as athletes go. So that's my pick out of the South, but I wouldn't be surprised to see any of about six or seven teams emerge from that bracket in the finals in Champaign.
Class 2A. Do you have any thoughts on Class 2A, where you have Sterling Newman is the top seed in the North, Downs Tri-Valley the top seed in the South?
Yeah, I think Tri-Valley may be the team to beat. I think the fact that they played a fairly competitive game with Deer Creek Mackinac last week gives some other teams in this field some hope, which maybe they didn't have before that result, because Tri-Valley was beating the bejesus out of almost everybody they had played till that point. Another team I like that actually has a loss on their ledger is Moroa Forsyth. So both those two teams are on the south side. I don't know what to make of the north bracket, to be completely honest with you. This Sterling Newman team was not very well regarded at the beginning of the year, and I actually talked to their coach the other day, and he admitted as such. He said, we're just getting better every game, and our kids believe that we can win football games. But, I mean, when it comes right down to it, I don't know if they're a state championship type of team, but I guess they've been defying the odds all year. I guess they maybe should be counted on to continue to do so with the pedigree that they have.
Class 1A. I'm looking at 1A, and it seems like it's the same names every year, doesn't it?
It is, and it's funny.
Forreston, Stockton, Lena Winslow, Tuscola, Arcola.
It's funny because, like, almost every year you find Tuscola, who's another powerhouse there, is sitting on the bubble every year between 1 and 2A, and somehow they end up – when they have their better teams, they always seem to end up in 1A. I think they're the team to beat, but I don't think you can discount any number of teams from that Northwest Illini, which seems to churn out state-caliber teams on a yearly basis. Forreston seems to be the best of them, but Aquin's pretty good. I like Lena Winslow as well, even though they already have two losses this season. I don't know what to make of Stockton. Their defense looks really good, and they've been rolling everyone. But they're on the weaker side of that conference, and I don't know if they've really played anybody that really tests their mettle, even though they're 9-0.
All right, guys. Well, to finish up here, what's a first-round matchup that really intrigues you? Kyle, go first.
All right. You know what? I'll take Manteno at Plano. Plano is a team that's caught absolute fire since beating Manteno, and they were down 21-0 in that game and ended up winning, I think, 46-21. I think Mantino's better than that. I think it's going to be a game where you could see both teams get above 40 points in it, and it should be a lot of fun.
Okay, John?
Sycamore at Solorio. I know Joe Ryan's got, a good pedigree there. This isn't the best Sycamore team. Solorio's got a talented quarterback in Quincy Patterson. I think that should be a really good game. I'm taking Solorio in a close one, but I think it should be close.
All right, Steve?
Neckwa Valley and Glenbard West. Obviously, the 8A field has plenty of games to choose from, but that's the one that caught my eye because up until playoffs day, we thought Glenbard West was going to be in 7A. It's obviously where they won a state championship last year. So they slid down into 8A. They're the smallest 8A team, and they're playing a team that I was expecting to go 9-0 and had a little hiccup in week 9. So they slid down from a 5 to a 13 for a 13-20 game in a 32-team bracket. I don't think you can find one better.
Well, I'm going to go with a 10-7 game in 6A. Marmion 6-3 and DeKalb 7-2. Marmion's losses, this isn't too bad. Montini, Fenwick, and St. Rita.
Yeah.
And DeKalb lost to Lake Park, which was 2-7. I'm trying to figure that one out. But then lost to Sterling by just 1 point. And the winner of that one could get number 2 Antioch in the second round. So that'll be my pick, Marmion at DeKalb. So thanks, guys. It's been fun. And we will be back next week with another Illinois Football Podcast.